It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. It sounds like former Michigan Senator Virgil Smith might be thinking about running for office again. According to a report in MERS this week, Smith has taken out petitions for a Detroit City Council bid. Last year, he was sentenced to 10 months in jail and 5 years probation for shooting up his ex-wife's car. That led to his resignation from the Senate. Jack, even if Smith does collect and turn in the 300 signatures necessary to get on the ballot, are there some legal hurdles here?
Well, yes. The original agreement that he signed to lessen his sentence, he could have had a far higher sentence and been convicted on far more serious crimes, said he wouldn't run for office for 5 years again. But the judge, the trial judge in the matter, said that wasn't binding, and so he promptly is trying to run for office again. This is being appealed, and it's quite possible the Michigan Court of Appeals could step in and say, nope, he can't run, he made a deal, and he can't run for office again, and then in that case, this would be over. But it sort of boggles the mind to think of Virgil Smith, who has a string of shoplift, driving while impaired conditions, and then these horrible firearms violations, would run for something, but I think he feels that maybe he can get elected.
A group of progressive activists wants to know how often State Attorney General Bill Schuette and his aides used their private email accounts to conduct public business. Progress Michigan has filed a lawsuit in the State Court of Claims. The group says Schuette's office should be forced to turn over personal emails that discuss public business or explain why it can't. Jack, this plays right into the debate over Michigan's FOIA laws.
Well, it certainly does. I mean, there's sort of a fiendish glee on the part of some, since Attorney General Schuette was, like all the rest of the Republicans, calling for Hillary Clinton to release all her emails. And now we have a case where he and his staff, allegedly and probably improperly, were using their private email accounts for public business. But it's just one more indication that why a lot of people think that we need wider, more expanded freedom of information laws to apply to this kind of stuff. The House of Representatives have twice passed expanded FOIA laws nearly unanimously, but Arlen Meekoff is holding them up in the Senate.
A former camp counselor has been sentenced to 10 years in federal prison over child pornography charges. 21-year-old Matthew Cuppy was accused of taking pictures of nude boys at a camp in suburban Detroit. Cuppy admitted to posting the photos online. The judge who handed down the sentence did so with reluctance. He said it was too harsh. Jack, I'm sure this raised more than a few eyebrows.
Well, it raised a lot of eyebrows all over the place. People thought the judge was too lenient, although he was essentially following the law. The judge and the defense attorney thought, I think with a lot of justice, that 10 years in prison was not only an excessive sentence, but how does this possibly rehabilitate this confused youth who, we should observe, did not touch any of these children. He wrote about fantasies about it, but in massive investigation, all he did was, not that he should have done this, he took pictures of them naked, scampering around, five-year-olds in the locker room, and posted them on a Russian porn site. Now, that's totally awful, but the children themselves didn't know he was doing it. And this kid was 20 years old when it happened. He's 22 now, and it's very hard to see how 10 years in prison will do anything for him except make him permanently unemployable. So, as the judge so sagely observed, criminal justice has not caught up with a way of adequately addressing child pornography problems.
It's no secret that people who live in Detroit pay some of the highest auto insurance rates in the country. They're so expensive that a lot of Detroiters can't afford continuous insurance coverage. Many turn to a legal workaround called 7-day auto insurance. Now lawmakers are working to close that loophole. Jack, what's the potential impact here?
Well, good luck with that. Even if they outlaw these 7-day insurance policies, what will happen was these poor folks will sign up for a conventional insurance policy and let the premiums lapse. They found there's something like a third of auto registrations are like this, or they don't have the proper insurance, or they're fraudulent in some other way. And the reason is these people can't afford car insurance. They just can't afford car insurance, and so they only buy a week of it every time they have to get their license tabs renewed. I think there's possibly no more devastating statistic about the hardship of life in Detroit for a lot of people than this one.
All right, Jack, thanks for your insights, and have a good weekend.
I hope the sun's shining for you, Rebecca.
You too. Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.